Good morning. Welcome to worship today as we continue in our season after Epiphany, and we are once again hearing from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, we had Jesus saying, "You are blessed." And today, he says, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth," for our meditation. Special welcome to all of you joining us from home. We are glad that we are one community together, despite distance. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as your beloved children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand for our first hymn. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
With endless mercy, receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first readings from Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not take notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to live in. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not without plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are uninspired do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, but they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, the word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teach others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Jesus, in our Gospel, says two things I want to use as the focus of our homily this morning. The first is, I came not to abolish, but fulfill. The second, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. I'm going to start with that second one. In Mount Angel, Oregon, my parents built a retirement house that was kind of a dream house for them. And one thing they always wanted to have was kind of like a tower that was almost like a sunroom that they could look out a long way into the distance. So when they built that retirement house, they put a third story on it. That's just one room in the third story that's full of skylights and large windows that could see all the way around. Now, I know for some of you, a third story doesn't sound like all that much of a tower, but we are in Mount Angel, and we don't exactly have skyscrapers, some barns, but in that space, and they're actually 3 miles out of town, the only thing around is fields. And so from that third story, you could see a tremendously far distance. Because it's so flat, you could see so far, almost basically as far as as the air will allow you to see. There's enough humidity and fog, that's a different issue. And during the time when I was done teaching at Concordia in spring of 2020, until I came here in January 2021, so for those 7-8 months, my family and I lived in that house. And we basically had the second and third floor to ourselves. And my daughter, Iris, was just barely a year old. So we were still in the get up in the middle of the night pretty often. And one of Dad's jobs was the very early morning hours whenever she woke up. And usually when she'd get up at like 4 a.m. or something like that, I would take her up to that third floor so that wouldn't distract those who were still sleeping. And when I'd go into that third story with all that glass where you could see for so far around, and then at 4 a.m., especially in the winter, it was dark. And for those of you who are from the country or lived in the country, know how dark it is when there aren't city lights around. And what in the day was that viewpoint where you could just see for miles just felt so cold and isolating because how incredibly dark it was. You didn't feel like you could see anything at all except one thing. The town of Mount Angel is actually called Mount Angel because it is a big flat area except for one hill. Now, I know it's called Mount Angel, but exaggeration gets the best of us. It's a hill. On top of that hill is a Benedictine monastery and seminary. And because of the monastic hours and the way it was built and the winding road to get up there, there's always lights on up at the abbey. And it stands almost as a beacon for the entire community. You see those lights brilliantly shining out for so far. That light that shines forth can be seen from miles around. So when I would go up to that third floor, tired and exhausted with a crying baby, I would look upon that light that came forth from the abbey. And so in our gospel reading, when Jesus uses the metaphor that you're the light of the world and the city on the hill that can't be hid, I just automatically thought of being in those cold mornings and the way there was nothing but darkness all around except for that one spot where there was light and the way my eye would just almost naturally fix upon it. Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you need to become that light, or you are growing into the light, or the light will come upon you when I come again. No, you are, in the present, the light of the world. You don't have to earn anything to be it. You're simply the light in the world. And this statement directly follows what Pastor Lori preached about last week in the Beatitudes of Jesus saying, you are blessed. You're not blessed because of something you did, but simply because Jesus selected you. The word of God has come upon you. You are blessed. You are the light of the world. It's your identity. If you recall, several weeks ago, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord in Matthew chapter 3, just two chapters before this. And when Jesus went to be baptized by John the Baptist, John didn't think that was right. He objected and he says, I really shouldn't be baptizing you, Jesus. And Jesus responded to John, this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. We had the opportunity at that time to reflect on righteousness, and of righteousness meaning to set into alignment that which has gone askew. And Jesus said that act, Jesus' baptism, was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. All people, all things being set right. They will be put back into alignment. Before God, before everyone else, all things in its proper order. There no longer be the chasm between God and us, clouded by our sinful and broken world of pain and suffering. Instead, all righteousness would be fulfilled. And that follows with what we see here. You are the light of the world. You have been set right. All righteousness has been put in order because Jesus has set it right, not because we did anything about it. But here Jesus continues. After those metaphors of salt and light, he says, I came not to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Notice that word again, fulfill. To fulfill all righteousness. But Jesus, I thought you said at your baptism that this act, the baptism was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Wasn't it done already? You were baptized. That happened. Didn't that the righteousness get fulfilled? Isn't it all better now? But here, Jesus shows the baptism, yes, was the fulfillment of all righteousness, but that fulfillment continues. Jesus says, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass away until heaven and earth will pass away, until all is accomplished. That means it wasn't just all done at his baptism. It continues until all is accomplished. And it hasn't all been accomplished yet. All is accomplished only when Jesus returns, and there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more isolation. There is more and more fulfilling to be done. And now our gospel text turns in a way we might not have expected back at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus says at the baptism, this was necessary to fulfill all righteousness, no matter how that righteousness was getting fulfilled or whatever that means, I sort of assumed Jesus was just going to do it all. And in some ways he does, yet our text today, Jesus invites us into the process. You are the light of the world. You are the city on the hill, like that abbey that I saw in the dark mornings. You really are that light. And then the next verse, that light of Christ that's within you, let your light shine before others. You who are able to name who Christ is in your life amidst a world of many who cannot name that, who don't know Jesus or the righteousness brought, you who do, let that light shine outward. You have a role in fulfilling all righteousness. You who are blessed can be a blessing. That message can be hard because I so very frequently don't feel that I'm very righteous. I feel very broken and in bondage to sin who cannot save myself. How could I possibly be part of fulfilling all righteousness? Jesus is going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount for two more chapters with, frankly, incredibly hard ethical teachings. Rather than saying the law from the Old Testament's going away, he expands it and makes it even harder. How can I possibly do that? All it seems to be showing me is how I continue to fail. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. In that imperative, that command, let your light shine, something significant happens that we can too easily miss. Grammatically, the subject of that command, let it shine, is the light. The light that is within you, to be sure, but it's the light that's going to shine. And the light will indeed shine. As it says, all we have to do is keep from putting a bushel basket over it. That abbey up on the hill that looked so brilliant looking outward, if you ever went up to the abbey in the early morning hours and joined them in their morning chapel or really anywhere on the grounds, you would have no idea that this was so bright from a distance. Because in fact, it's pretty dark up there. They don't waste electricity. And people often complain that we can't really see very well if you're actually up there. And what's more, you know, they don't turn all those lights on in order to be this beacon for the community. They turn them on because they have things they're doing and they need it, and there's some safety things for their road and different aspects. But all of us down below on those farms see that light shining forth. Those at the Abbey have no idea what the full impact of that light is. And for me, in the mornings when I'd go up on that third story when it was dark and cold and trying to calm a crying baby and the level of exhaustion that I had that all parents of young children know, those light on a hill, just being its very presence, was a sign of hope and life for me. And the Abbey, those there, unless they happen to be watching now, which is pretty unlikely given they're Catholic, have no idea of that impact it had on me, and probably won't. And isn't that the same way that our light shines outward? Sometimes we see the impact of the light of Christ within us shining forth. We can see how we are enlightening other people's lives. But most of the time, we won't know. In fact, we often feel like it's pretty dark where I live. But that light of Christ exudes in ways we don't understand. But the grace of God is we don't have to understand. We can be discouraged and feel convicted, and God is still working through us in ways we can't even imagine. You are the light of the world. That light is exuding outward. It's active and alive in every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Invite all who are able to stand for our next hymn.
Thank you.
whole church, let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Gracious God, call your people to seek your wisdom in difficult conversations and action. Give the church everywhere grace in the midst of any kind of struggle, conflict, transition, new challenges, and new opportunities. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Inspire our wonder at creation, from the light of dawn to the beauty of the dark night. Sustain the unseen depths of the ocean to the plants and animals we know well. Bring healing to lands and communities experiencing natural disasters. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Instruct the powerful in your ways. Provide upright leadership that all people are not oppressed. Throughout the world, inspire voters and raise up politicians to heed your call for nations to practice righteousness. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Shape our congregation to be salt for the earth. Give us delight in your commandments, that we are generous with those in need. Make us steadfast in our trust in you, ready with tangible mercy and compassion for our neighbors. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Loosen the bonds of injustice in our midst. Grant peace to endless quarrels. Put an end to hunger and break every yoke of oppression. Satisfy those afflicted in any way. Heal the sick, injured, and in recovery. Comfort the grieving. Accompany those in isolation and in any pain. We pray especially this week for Betsy Berg, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gail Hadelberg, James Pontius, Marnie Reinmuth, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, and Norma Vetras. Merciful God, hear our prayer. The cross and resurrection bring redemption from sin and death. We praise you for all whose unshaken faith in Christ shines forth in their witness. Keep them in our remembrance and bring us with them into the kingdom of heaven and comfort all who grieve. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive these gifts for the sake of him who offered himself to us through this simple meal of bread and wine. Strengthen us through this meal in faith toward you and in fervent love for one another. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. And in mercy for your fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it in the cup. The cup contains red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come.
Thank you.
now. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. Amen. A few quick announcements of our life together this week. Of course, you all should be receiving weekly updates of all the various events that we have via email. If you're not, come talk to me. We'll get you on that list. But a few to specifically highlight this week. First is that Together Tuesday continues. We have our meal at 5:15 followed by classes. Our adult class continues the series, Lutheran Theology, A Grammar of Faith. You see a word of welcome. All of those who have interest in knowing more about Central Lutheran or simply the Lutheran traditions and the way we worship and what we believe, please talk to me or Pastor Lori when she gets back from vacation, and we'll be sure to connect you there. We're going to be doing a class series and an emphasis on how we engage together at Central, and it will be very applicable to new people and those who've been here for a long time. So please take note of that. Also, not written in your bulletin, but just want to let you know that St. Olaf's Choir, tremendous music that comes from one of our ELCA colleges, was going to be in town this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the United Methodist Church, and that is a ticketed event. In the email blast, there'll be a link where you can find it, or you can go online and just search St. Olaf and Eugene, you'll find it as the first thing. So that's Wednesday at 7. And then today, directly after service, as the first Sunday of the month, there is individual prayer available in the chapel. If you go over there, one of our prayer ministers will be there and be very, very pleased to pray with you. And then also wanted to highlight that directly after service, children meet in the Godly Playroom, and adults meet in the library for adult education in a new series that's about prayer and our prayer life that is related to the prayer ministry team. So please take a look at that and join all those who can join us. Please do. And then finally, I'd like to invite forward those who are Eucharistic ministers and who are with us today. These are people who bring communion to some members of our congregation who can no longer get here in person, and ask them to come forward. And if you are not one of our Eucharistic ministers but would like to become one, please talk to me after service or another time, or Pastor Lee. Some will be at the 11 o'clock. Having consecrated the elements of bread and wine, we give thanks and praise to God for our Eucharistic ministers, and we ask God to guide them in their serving, so that our brothers and sisters in Christ who received the gift of Holy Communion may also be strengthened for their journey and kept in God's grace. Let us pray. God of all life and all good, bless your servants and those whom they serve. Make your presence known in your Holy Supper, so that all who share in this meal may be fed and nourished with the bread of life and drink from the cup of salvation. This we pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Gary. And now I invite the congregation to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. the light of Christ.